Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Today we're going to preface the podcast by talking about the power of actual social media etiquette. So Amir Borman, who is the co-founder of Elevana, who we're going to learn a lot more about who he is and what he does in just a minute, approached me on LinkedIn in a really good way. So what happens a lot of times is when we connect with somebody, I will get a message back, and I could read hundreds of these messages where these people are like, buy my product, right? Or they're read my down or download my white paper, or they get just, it's like really aggressive. And it's like a person who's trying to kiss you and you're trying to push them away and they just don't seem to get the point. Amir did something very different. He has online social skills that are so good that even though that he's not in our industry from financial services, even though he's going to provide us with great information about what he does and who he is, he did what you're supposed to do. Nice, warm conversation. We had a nice conversation about who he is. And, you know, he asked good questions about us. And it endeared us to want to bring him on the podcast. So for those of you out there who don't understand that there is a social moray and folkway aspect to connecting with somebody on LinkedIn, maybe I should just kind of publish some of this that Amir and I talked about just to show you how it's supposed to be. But here's the super awesome thing. One of the reasons why he's so damn good at this is because he uses social media to help people find and recruit people into businesses. So Amir, welcome to the show. Is that an okay opening?
Absolutely, man. Okay. Great to be on. Thanks.
Good. Okay. Let's just find out. Tell our audience who you are, what your background is, because you didn't come from recruiting. Just give us a brief overview of who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I got a degree, got out of school, engineering oriented. So I thought I'd be a developer my whole life. It was about 18 months, maybe not even a year into the job, I was realizing that I do not enjoy what I'd studied to do. I had a master's degree to boot, so lots of education, and theoretically I thought I'd love it, but in practical work experience, I was like, this is not for me. So I slowly started realizing what I did enjoy of the job was the people interaction. So I started a path of trying to get into more of those people-focused roles. I did a lot of business analysis. I got into project management. At one point, I ran a business intelligence practice, so working very closely with finance, FP&A projects, reporting projects, dashboards, at C-level interactions, and I just loved it. So I branched off on my own, started my own BI consulting company, and at some point, somebody asked us to help them with a hire, and I had no idea what that meant because I'd never done recruiting. I had been recruited, but I had never done recruiting, and we said yes because we were a young business, as young businesses do. And trial by fire, we got a close, and we were like, "Hey, this is kind of cool." That was a thrilling hunt. We all loved it. My brother's my business partner, and we both said, "Hey, instead of doing the consulting, let's see if we can get a little bit more of these roles." And that's where we're at.
How does it work? I mean, so you were kind of fishing around in the dark, and obviously a solution presented itself, right? So talk to us about that, because you're doing it differently than, at least especially in our industry, on how our industry does it. So give us that background, please.
So, yeah, I mean, not coming from recruiting, I didn't have preconceived notions of how things should be done. I was recruited. So as a software engineer, as an analyst, as a project manager, you have recruiters after you for jobs, obviously. And part of that knowledge that I gained, the interactions, I started, I guess, mentally taking note of, man, I don't like this and I like this and this person did a good job. And when we started actually doing the recruiting activity, we really were cognizant of the candidate experience. A lot of people talk about candidate experience. They talk about making sure that, you know, when you're interacting with somebody, they fully understand the job, they get the full preview, especially on the recruiting side, no punches being pulled. And that a lot of times doesn't happen in the industry. And I don't care what the vertical is. It could be finance, it could be janitors, it could be forklift drivers. And that was the basis of how we started. And as social media has grown, we've started to evolve with it and starting to really leverage in the last, I'd say, year, we've gone pretty deep in terms of our messaging and our marketing efforts behind the scenes to be very transparent, to leverage where people are actually consuming content and also putting in the format that they want to consume. And I think a lot of that goes with understanding what it's like to have a job on the other side. And I don't think it, you know, relates just because it's engineering. I could have been an accountant. I think it's the same concept. I know what it's like to sit behind a desk to work for an organization. And you have to know that if you want to relate to the people as a recruiting company should.
That is really fundamentally different. I think people who get into recruiting are taught such an old school way to recruit, not realizing that it actually can turn people off. Amir, that's happened to me before. I've had recruiters call me and they're like freaking pit bulls, and they don't do what you did or what you do, which is putting content in areas in the ways that people want to consume them, which is the convenience factor that so many of us just take for granted these days. You know, maybe you love podcasts, maybe you love reading blogs, maybe you love watching videos, maybe you love watching, you know, seeing really short tweets. Having that flexibility. Now, do you build that flexibility into when somebody hires you to help them find somebody?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're a contingent recruiting company at the moment, and our kind of evolution towards social media has, so we had a strategy when we first started, and the big strategy was transparency. And I think as the market's been shifting, we'd noticed that there's a constant lag in the recruiting industry in how they want to use social media. So we were very well aware that the market wasn't ready. So we have been changing our messaging on email, on phone calls, to resonate with a much more social tone. Having seen that take off, we started doing a lot more direct messaging to people on social media platforms. Now the next step for us is actually producing content that's consumable, because we now thoroughly understand the audience, and we've built a network of people through direct messaging, through emails, that when we reach out, they're willing to consume the content because they know there's value add. So it's been a systematic process for us. I think a lot of times on social media, you see recruiting companies produce pieces that just don't resonate because no one wants to consume them. And we do market. We've done a lot of market surveys with our audience. Like, we ask our candidates, how do you consume? Did you like the way we presented the information? How can we make it better? And it's taken years of crafting that. But I could tell you, on our email marketing campaigns, we get close to an 85% open rate, and our candidates respond close to about 45% of the time to us. So that made me feel very confident that as we got deeper into the social side, that we would absolutely be able to resonate with the same level that we had through our email channels. And I think that's a big, big thing and a big shift in the industry, is a lot of people use social, but the context of the messaging just doesn't resonate with who they are trying to target.
We have that issue all the time. And one of the reasons why we offer our podcasting and social media service to financial services professionals to tailor their voice into a way that's very palatable across the board. So obviously, for our listeners, they know that everything that you just said there is exactly what we believe, because it's so vital. And also getting feedback is super important too, because, you know, I can sit here in my ivory tower, which of course I don't really know who has an ivory tower anymore, but, you know, and think that everything's going really well. But if I'm not seeing the results, if I'm not doing a 360, if I'm not asking for feedback, then, you know, I mean, I'm kind of dead in the water. Now, how can financial services professionals learn from you, from what you've learned, and or utilize your services to help them find people? Because as we were preparing for the call, which I'm sure most of you know that, you know, I don't just hit record the minute somebody picks up. This is HR, recruiting, retention, is one of the biggest issues in financial services. So Amir, help us figure this
sure.
out.
So I firmly believe that whether it's engineering, whatever the HR capacity is in terms of the role they're looking for, whatever industry the person's recruiting for, I think it's the same. And I think the fundamental problem, if you peel back this onion and you look at where job ads started, right? People put them in news ads, newspaper ads, and people circled them, you know, with email and resumes. Then it went to fax. Then it went to actually physical mailing, then fax, then emailing. And nothing's really changed fundamentally. And I think part of the problem is it was an easy way of attracting people in. And now the mindset has to shift towards that information's out there. It's been democratized. Anybody can find any job. It's no longer in somebody's private Rolodex. So now that you know you have to grab somebody's attention, you need to be able to get their thumb to stop on their social media feed, on a job board, whatever avenue you need to use. It's the thumb stop. You got to get the thumb to stop on their phone or on, you know, on their mouse wheel, whatever it is, to get them to look at what you've presented. Otherwise, there's so many jobs, so much content that it becomes noise. So I think, again, going back to the cornerstone is you have to know the audience. So anybody who's out there that's targeting people for their jobs, these are normal people you're targeting. They have normal interests. Just because somebody is in the financial services industry doesn't mean when they go home, all they think about is financial services consumption of information, right? They might like coffee. They might like pizza. Whatever it is that they have interests in, they have communities they join. They have content that they consume. It's really understanding the peripheral content that you can provide somebody that gets their thumb to stop and realize that there's value add to the organization that put that out. So if you are an HR and you're targeting financial services people in the financial industry, you have to know what that peripheral desire is. You just can't think, oh yeah, they must go home, right? So in the engineering space, I have other recruiters that I've talked to that go, well, engineers hang out with other engineers, right? I'm like, huh? How does that work? Like, your CPA doesn't mean every person you like is a CPA, or your lawyer, all your friends are lawyers. So we have other interests and we have other connections, and understanding that peripheral, you know, consumption of content, that's what you should be producing, and consistently, because initially nobody's going to consume your content. Starting a podcast tomorrow, nobody's going to consume it. Takes, I mean, you've done 1,000. So, I mean, you've got a great platform to speak from, but not starting out.
Oh yeah, we had nobody listening to our podcast when we first started.
Crickets.
Yeah, totally. It was brutal and depressing until we were about 3 months in. Kirk and I have a rather large social media, so we picked up a little faster than other people. Plus, we were producing a lot of content. So that's interesting. I want to back up and ask you a follow-up question to that, which is, so if I am a financial services company, right, so a large broker-dealer or a large insurance company, and I'm trying to hire to a culture, which is what, of course, that's modern day marketing, right? That's what that, we sure have done that at Top Advisor Marketing. You know immediately that my people work for us, with us, because they're the right people and we hired to a culture with a very specific value set. How can you use that to your advantage with this outgoing material? Does that make sense?
I think culture is massive in the marketplace. Every candidate wants to know, what's the company culture like? The client knows what their culture is like. And a lot of times if you go on their social media, you know, sites and you take a look at the culture, it's very sanitized, very sterile representations of the culture, which is fine. But the problem is nobody really wants to consume that anymore. We all like the ad hoc, the authentic, the quote unquote reality TV versions of social media, right? Social media is all basically a little bit of voyeurism. People like seeing the real stuff. If it's too sanitized, it's not resonating. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the content that gets produced is by people that think it's got to be pixel perfect. And people don't necessarily want to consume that anymore. They want a little bit of that dirty, rough edge. They want to know somebody just flipped on a camera at their desk and is giving a testimonial of why I like working for this 10,000-person company. HR approves it. It goes on to the feed someplace, and that's authentic. People can relate to that person and the passion they brought, not a, let's sit behind this, you know, white screen, the logo's to the right. Let's talk about, you know, a real serious conversation of why you like working for the company. What's the culture like? It sounds manufactured, and that's how it's going to resonate. It's going to resonate manufactured because people have seen the content that is authentic and they like it more.
Yeah, they sniff that out super fast, don't they? And they can also sniff it out if they already know you a smidge and they know you didn't write it. That's where you get really punched in the gut. So what question should I have asked you, man? I mean, I've been kind of controlling the podcast for the first, you know, 14 minutes here. What should I be asking? What am I missing?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The approach we've taken, you know, when people think about getting into social media, they're like, well, I got to go headlong into social media. And I'm like, maybe you need to understand like the messaging first. And that's, again, I think that was a big part of why we were very careful to get into social media, as I decided early on, is I don't want to produce content unless we're very specific about what our audience wants to consume. And we'd been observing it for a little while. And I feel now that we know that, and we know what our audience is looking for, then you start producing it. And then it's making sure the team starts producing it. So we actually mandate everyone who works for me has to produce on a schedule certain amount of content that we think resonates with the people that they're reaching out to. And I'm okay if all these people turn out to be social media stars and they leave because of that. That just would mean that the next person who comes in sees that as an attractive offer of coming to work for me. So I think you have to have a plan in place. You just can't say I'm into social and start doing it. You have to know the audience. And I think when you do that and you've figured out what channels you want to attack, then you go all in. Otherwise, I think the messaging comes off just wrong and people will notice that as well. So that's the one big thing that I've learned. And I think that's why we've just amped up. We hired a social media person internally. A lot of recruiting companies wouldn't do that, but we have hired our own. And we're just starting to now produce tons of content because we have absolutely hit the nail on the head in terms of what we found the recipe is for us.
And helping somebody find that recipe is really important. And there's some great resources out there to find what your specific recipe is to get the attention of the people that you're looking for. But for financial services professionals, you have to really be able to know what your ideal client is. For recruiting, you have to know what your ideal employee looks like. And if you can't answer that question, then dear God, don't even begin to do what Amir and all of his team has done, because you're just going to swing and a miss. You're going to spend a lot of money and you're definitely not going to get any traction. So Amir, if you don't mind, we kind of like to have an opportunity to ask our guests a little bit about who they are and what makes them tick. Do you mind if we switch gears real quick and take just a few minutes to get to know you?
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Wonderful. So here's the big, when you're not working, what do you do for fun?
So I've got a 5-year-old girl, and my wife and I, she, a little girl keeps us busy a lot. So that is a source of fun. We're in that age where, you know, it's just fantastic just watching her grow, interacting with her. I think that's just like when I'm not working, I'm not trying to catch up on work at home. It's family time for me, especially the little one. We're in Southern California, so we get to take her to Disneyland, and it's just you get to see this magical side of a person, and it's just amazing.
Who's your hero?
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually, it might sound cheesy, but I actually think my wife is my hero. Oh. And I say that because she does so much that it blows my mind. And without her as the cornerstone of our life, I don't know if I would have the comfort to go out and do. So I think she's a hero to me, and I think what she does is amazing. And I kind of look at her and I go, I wish you would come to the company and help me run some of the stuff internal, because I think you'd actually do a far better job than I do.
When you think of the word success, what does that mean to you?
So initially, I think success meant to me growing Elevano to be a 1,000-person company, publicly listed, mansions, yachts. That was defined as success. I think now I've realized, having owned a business for a few years now, that I want to see the people that work for me do really well. I want to see them succeed. I want to build something, whether it's, you know, 5-person shop, 10-person shop, 100-person shop, doesn't matter. I want it to mean something, that we did something the way we wanted to do. And that would actually mean that I was successful regardless of, you know, the dollars and cents that come after that.
Who's your favorite person in history?
Oh, that's a good question. I think my favorite person in history, I love Walt Disney. There's things about him that I, you know, reading his biographies, that I look at and go, definitely questionable, and definitely as a business person had his shortcomings. But what he did so well, and the vision at which he implemented something so early has always resonated with me. I think he's somebody that I look at and I go, just an amazing mind. I always wonder how he would see the world if he was born now and what he'd do with it. But he's somebody that I look at and go, just fantastic.
Name one thing that most people don't know about you.
I could sit down and have a bag of chips without blinking. So my wife has to police that. So that's a dirty secret. When I get to work, she has told people in the office that you guys can't let him just go to town on chips and pretzels because he doesn't eat sugar, but he will eat salt intake all day.
Oh, that's fantastic. What is your kind of go-to thing? You know, when you meet somebody and you connect with them and you want to maybe give them a gift, or if somebody's asking you for a piece of wisdom, what is your go-to? Is it a TED talk? Is it a book? Is it a song? Help us with that.
So my go-to book is, I love this book, The Four Agreements. David Miguel Ruiz. Sorry, I always get the name inverted, but The Four Agreements. And it's just a fantastic story of understanding how we as people are brought into the world, and we always don't have the choices of defining how we'd like to live our lives and the roles in which we want to. And that book really just opened my eyes up to seeing that some of the ways that I did things were not my own choice, and I actually had to find my own genuine way. So that book is a big one for me.
And what is your proudest achievement?
I think actually it just family success, honestly. Like I enjoy the business side of it. It's a thrill, but anyone that knows me knows that I'm a very family oriented person, and my family is my proudest success. I love the bonds we have. I think it's more important to me, and making sure that ship is always top priority over anything else.
All right, Amir. So you have the attention of a halfway decent amount of people who listen to our podcast. I'm not going to say a lot of people, because, you know, that would just, I don't know, not necessarily always be entirely true, but a good amount of people. Who should contact you, and what is the best way for them to reach out to you to find out more about your services or to get to know how they might be able to partner with you in the future?
Absolutely. So I think my real goal, coming from a non-recruiting background, is to make some kind of lasting change in the industry. And I know it's a $160 billion industry, and I'm a tiny, tiny speck of that. But I think there's so much room for improvement in the way things are done. So I'm happy to share the way we do things, how we approach things. We can definitely help with recruiting. That's not an issue. That's something that's in our wheelhouse. In terms of the marketing side, we have plans to start actually a marketing division to actually take some of these things that we've learned, some of these, you know, 45% response rates from candidates, and take that to market as a service, because I think there's lots of people that on the recruiting side could benefit from that. And hopefully that'll clean up some of the pollution that exists in the industry. So I think that's definitely hopefully something that resonates with your audience. In terms of finding us, Amir Borman on a lot of the social media, I can give you some of the links and whatnot, but Amir Borman pretty much is accessible on all those platforms.
And we'll make sure that we put links to your site and to your LinkedIn profile specifically on the show notes for today's show. So Amir, hey man, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Amir Borman, the co-founder of Elevano, a wonderful, wonderful, not just so much deeper than just recruiting, with all of the neat stuff that they've learned. I learned a lot. I took a whole bunch of notes here. There's some things that we're going to, Amir, I'm not going to steal them from you necessarily because you gave them freely, but I'm going to bring them back to Top Advisor Marketing, because there's a couple of pieces that I think we could do even better. And I greatly, greatly appreciate learning that from you. So once again, man, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And if you have not rated us, just take a moment and click, I don't know, we'd like 5 stars, but whatever you can do, and provide us with any sort of feedback that you'd like. And if you know somebody who could really use what Amir was talking about today, make sure you click that share button. So for everybody at Elevano and Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best-kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by iris.xyz. A platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.